Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get in the know. Nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Hey, you held him to 20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end. So I got three words for you. You like that?
That's Kirk Cousins addressing the Vikings before the last mandatory minicamp. They're very excited to get that new offense installed. Kevin O'Connell in the house here. This is Purple Daily, Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. Phil Mackey, Judd Zulgad, our executive producer, Declan Goff. And the show is presented by Surly Brewing Company and also TCL. Redefine creativity with the TCL 30V 5G smartphone. Enjoy blazing fast 5G speed, an AI-powered 50-megapixel triple camera system, ultra-realistic and true-to-life visuals powered by Next Vision, and booming sound from dual speakers. Learn more at TCL.com. All right, boys, we just completed Judd's. We did five straight days of Judd's top 25 Vikings of all time. You can find all of that if you missed any of those episodes on the Purple Daily podcast feed and YouTube channel. And then we will collect our list of snubs for Monday's episode. I'm already thinking on a bunch of them. But today's all about listener feedback. It's Purple Daily Reads the Comments, where we dive into the comment section of YouTube, Twitter, and anything you guys send us from the feedback section of the Score North app. So let's start with this one, boys. Dimitri Ryskinski via the Score North app says, Sue and Treader would be awesome additions, but hear me out. What about Linval Joseph and Kyle Rudolph coming back as depth? They could add depth in two positions that need it. Just a thought. What do you think about bringing a couple Mike Zimmer era Vikings back for some depth defensively and offensively?
Joseph wants to come back. He's back in town. I think Doogie told us that his son or daughter's in high school here. He's definitely been working out in town. Now, when they let go of him, he had definitely declined. And, of course, I think he spent the last couple of years with the Chargers. So I don't know where his game is at. Would I consider that one? Yes, I would. Rudolph, no way. I'm not bringing him back. And I think he told KFAN, if I'm not mistaken, that, of course, he would be open to coming back. But here's my question. You're pretty set at tight end, it feels like, right? You've got, I think you're skewing your offense towards how you want it to operate and run, right? Kyle's older. He would come in and he doesn't really like to, he's not really a blocker. He wants to catch the ball. But when he catches the ball, now he's going to gain about 3 yards. I would be more open to Joseph depending on where his game is at. Kyle, to me, is a guy who, look, great Viking. You tell him it's been great, but I would not consider him coming back.
Yeah, I like the idea of bringing back Linval. I mean, I'm all for another big guy in the defensive line that can help beef things up. I just don't think Kyle has anything really left. And I know they're weak at tight end right now. You know, behind Irv Smith, things could get a little dicey. But I don't know if Kyle Rudolph really does anything for me at this point in his career. I don't think it would add any value to Kevin O'Connell's offense.
So just Linval Joseph, yeah, he has spent the last 2 years with the Chargers. Not nearly the same player he was, according to Pro Football Focus anyways. I mean, he was one of the best defensive linemen in the league. He's not quite Aaron Donald level, but he was like a second-tier interior defensive lineman between, you know, 2014-15 when they signed him until the last couple of years. Could I see him playing a few hundred snaps here and there, just plugging up some space in the middle? Yeah, I don't know. They need some depth. I'd be fine with that. My question about Rudolph would be, who's the backup to the guy that just missed the season last year? Right now. Like, I mean, I know they signed Judd's favorite tight end. What's his name? Who's
Johnny
got
Munt.
Like five passes? Johnny Munt. Okay, Johnny Munt literally has like 30 receptions dating back to the beginning of college. He's not a pass-catching tight end to this point in his football life. So who's catching passes? Irv Smith missed the whole year last year. Should be healthy, but They don't have anyone to catch passes. I'm not saying you got to play Kyle Rudolph for, you know, half the snaps like they used to when Irv Smith was drafted, but...
Right, but keep in mind, though, O'Connell's coming from a system where I think Irv Smith would be considered like, we can use him, but they're going to use a lot of three receiver sets, so the tight end's not as important here. Like, if Irv Smith
But what if he
hurt,
gets hurt?
If Irv Smith gets hurt, KJ Osborne's probably going to just play more, and Munt will block. That's my point, is Kyle would be, I think, drafted or signed if he came back here more as a blocking option as well. And I think the peak of what he could do in catching passes is done now. So I don't know what he would really bring to you.
By the way, he did play in 16 games last season for the Giants. He was targeted 39 times, only 26 catches for 257 yards, one touchdown. So actually, Rudolph once was a really good red zone target, just a guy that you could rely on. About once every other game to catch a touchdown pass.
Yep.
And the last 2 years, his last year in Minnesota and then last year with the Giants, he's played in 28 games. He has two touchdowns total.
Yep.
Now, maybe, I don't know, I wasn't watching crappy Giants football last year. Was some of that just lack of opportunity? Maybe they weren't using him in the red zone? I don't know for sure. But red zone targeting would be the number one thing I'd be looking for. I don't know that I need Kyle Rudolph plodding along at age 33 between the 20s, but if he's a guy that can get a couple big hands up there in the back of the end zone three or four times a year, you know, they might need someone like that.
Thielen, he's going to be your guy.
Well, but Thielen was doing that when Rudolph was here too. So,
but I'm just saying, I think if Irv Smith can max out and be great, that's fantastic. If Irv Smith gets hurt, I think you're probably going to see a lot more three receiver sets: Jefferson, Thielen, Osborne. I don't know how much of a role in the passing game and reception wise the tight end is going to play if Irv Smith does not play a lot.
Yeah, okay. Jake T via the Score North app says, couple thoughts I had lately, just reflecting back on Vikings history. Do you guys believe we could have made the Super Bowl with a healthy Sam Bradford in 2017? Imagine the Vikings in their first Super Bowl in franchise history at U.S. Bank Stadium, purple and gold confetti falling while Prince's Purple Rain plays over the speakers. 2009 hurt like hell, but we absolutely pulled... Oh, my God. I'll read it. We absolutely pulled an Amber Heard in 2017 and crapped the bed.
So many questions about that story that I won't ask right now.
Oh, my God. Well, they went 13-3 without Sam Bradford.
I mean, I like Bradford a lot. Keenum, though, this is a great question, because Keenum had that magical year, right? And like, he ultimately brought an air of I'm going to do my thing, and it was successful. Would Bradford have brought that? Like, Bradford had a great arm, and Bradford was healthy, really good. But there was something that worked with Case as well. So I don't know the answer to that question is yes. Here's my question. The Saints game, okay? Let's say the Saints lead, as they did late in that game. Does Bradford pull off the miracle? Because that was a very Keenum-like play. And I would not suggest trying to repeat that play. So I'm saying...
Well, would they have had a bigger...
Pull that off?
Yeah. I actually think there's a few questions that kind of even lead up to that, which is... Let's go back to my first question. Would they have won more than 13 games with Sam Bradford, which I think is really hard to say, right?
Yeah.
He's a better quarterback than Keenum, but would they have gone 14-2? Because they needed one more win to play a home game in the NFC Championship game. So that's my first question, is can we not play that game in Philadelphia so that when the wheels come off, it just escalates with a backup quarterback ultimately?
They lost here to Detroit, correct?
Here to Detroit. At Pittsburgh, and then at Carolina, like week 15, that was kind of the dagger of them not getting the one.
So would Sam Bradford have brought them to 14 wins? Okay, let's say it's unlikely.
Yeah.
And then okay, so you're playing a road game now after you beat the Saints, and maybe the answer to your question, Judd, is would Sam Bradford have had the Vikings score 30 points in that game, and they don't have to worry about a miracle at the end? I don't know. But the biggest question is, if the season plays out similarly and then you get into that game in Philadelphia, would Sam Bradford have provided more offensive power when the Eagles were pushing back to make that a shootout game? Or would you still have just gotten smoked?
I think this question is more like valid if the Vikings went 9-7 and lost in the wild card round. Then I think it's more of a conversation of do they win more games? Probably. Do they have a better fate in the playoffs? Probably. But I mean, they got to the doorstep of the NFC of the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game. I will say, in terms of all of the project or reclamation projects of quarterbacks they have brought in, easily Sam Bradford was the most talented of all those guys they have brought in between Keenums and the Matt Castles. I know Gus Frerotte was up there in age, but in terms of all those reclamation projects, I don't put Favre as a reclamation project, but in terms of...
He actually kind of was.
He kind of, at 39, he was.
Bicep surgery. Yeah.
But in terms of, like, you know, the Jay Feed, like, they always brought in or drafted these random dudes. But Sam Bradford was a former number one overall pick and was insanely talented. Dude just had terrible knees and shoulders.
I think the problem with this whole conversation is this. The defense got done so badly in Philadelphia that it's hard to, like, put it on. Like, Keenum came unglued to a certain point for sure. But the reality is that defense, which, by the way, played a huge role in carrying that team to 13 wins. Like, that defense had been great. They got, it's starting with the second half of the Saints game here, and then certainly in the conference title game, they got done so badly. They got beat up so badly. They got humiliated that it's hard to me to look back at one offensive component and be like, could that guy have changed that? Because you were... If you had gone into Philadelphia and given up 17 or 20 or something, right? You'd be like, okay, the offense should have done more, could have done more, and it failed you. But starting with what Sean Payton did to that defense in the second half of the Saints game, it was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to look back. It's there's a few of those. We've done those too, the alternate realities. We could bring some of those back at some point. Bad dad joke via the Score North app says, love to hear that you're warming up to Cam Dantzler as a starting cornerback. He was our cornerback number one by a mile last year. I do have an issue with the boneheaded play that's often falsely used against him that I thought I should point out. If you go back and listen to Alex Boone on Purple Daily, he breaks down that last play against Detroit and puts the blame primarily on Woods. Xavier Woods bailed on his inside coverage to trail a guy that was already double covered, leaving Dantzler out to dry. That's a fair point. I think the general point here is that Cam Dantzler is better, I think, than people think. And maybe that'll come to fruition more this season. Tyler Gould via the Score North app says, love your guys' shows. Y'all are realistic about Minnesota sports. I can't stand the constantly overly optimistic people who refuse to think anything but perfection will happen. Listen to y'all every day. Would love to have this question answered. Do you think Kendricks and Dalvin Cook will be on the Vikings for the 2023 season?
Oh.
I think in 23, I think Kendricks won't be. Unless he comes back and plays great.
He'd have to sign a new contract, probably.
Yeah, I think he's probably gone. I think that Dalvin Cook is back. I think Dalvin Cook is back. I don't know how much longer after 2023 Cook is going to be here, but I think that Cook, if he, and this is the huge if he can stay on the field in 22, I think he is going to be sitting on potentially a really good year in which he is going to become... in which he's going to become the type of asset that he should be, which is not just the bell cow, give him the ball, but he's going to get the ball through the pass game. He's going to be obviously rushing the ball as well. Kendricks, I think, is a much longer shot to be back.
So Cook's contract starting in 2023 is a lot easier to get out from underneath. A lot of the dead cap money is paid off by that point. Excuse me. So his cap hit goes up from $12 million this year to $14 million. But the dead cap is only six, so you could actually save like $8 million to the 2023 cap by cutting him. My guess is it's just a kind of a, it's a point where you would either trade him for probably not a first round pick, but whatever, or you'd restructure him to bring that number down. I wouldn't be shocked if he was a Viking for life. If he, unless he plays contractual hardball, which, God, he's going to be 27. It's so hard to play hardball as a running back when you're at that age.
Right.
Which is sad to say, because it's not like he's been in the league for that long. So I think you're right. Kendrick's probably gone in his 30s. Contract is up. And then maybe Dalvin is still sticking around on a different contract. Felipe chimes in via the Score North app and says, I've been wanting to reach out for quite some time. I am a Brazilian Vikings fan. I started watching the NFL, just seeing Super Bowls when I was younger. And then I also watched some playoffs until I decided to pick a team myself and watch every damn game possible because I was loving football. So I decided to watch some games of a team I always saw on How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. And I've never watched that show, but apparently Marshall on that show is a big Vikings fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys watch that show?
Jason Segel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Unfortunately for me, it was in 2017 and the season that Case Keenum ended up with the Minneapolis Miracle to Stephon Diggs, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't complain. I've been suffering and watching 500 football for only 5 years. Judd probably doesn't even have a soul anymore after so many years of Vikings football. Nonetheless, just want to give you a shout out. I've been listening for 3 or 4 years on Spotify almost daily. You are my top podcast with hundreds of hours of listens yearly from the Spotify review. That's awesome, man.
Thank you.
Felipe from Brazil showing some love there. Our guy Lawyer Chase chimes in via the ScoreNorth app. I noticed that Surly makes more than just beer. Interestingly, Surly has a whiskey named after their cornerstone beer, Furious. Question for Judd, any possible updates on whiskey production from Surly or any future promotions of some type on liquors from Surly?
Yeah, I don't know about the second part of that question, but I will say this. I have sampled the Surly that he is talking about, the Furious. It is fantastic. And I'm not a big liquor guy, but it is absolutely great. But I think those are offshoots, so I don't think that they're like in production of different liquors necessarily. But yeah, that is a heck of a beer.
Nice. There you go. That's mm-hmm. a good way to talk about like Surly in the middle of the episode. I like our listeners teeing us up for that stuff. Also, a shout out to our friends at the Meadows of Mystic, providing a nice track for those of you this summer that want to get out and shoot 100 like Declan does.
Yeah, shoot 100, 105, 110, maybe even, who knows? Whatever you want to shoot, go down to the Meadows at Mystic Lake. And they also have some golf lessons. They can help you break 100 consistently. I've broken 100 a few times, but I'm trying to break 100 consistently, and I should book a tee time and book a lesson down at the Meadows at Mystic Lake, and so should you. They have a full-service golf apparel shop as well. They have the Meadows Bar and Grill Deck, which is a great scenic area to enjoy a beverage before or after your round. Go check them out. Book your tee time now. GolfTheMeadows.com to learn more. GolfTheMeadows.com.
All right, let's keep rolling here. Lloyd Heim via the ScoreNorth app says, I find it so interesting that the younger generation doesn't realize how good some of the older Vikings players were in their positions. The teams that played outside at the old Met Stadium, they called it the Frozen North for a good reason. All Vikings fans need to dig up old film of the Vikings in action to get perspective. Joe Capp knocks out Jack Youngblood, a linebacker, in a playoff game at the Met. Football, he says. We'll hit you with that.
Football.
Been a Vikings fan since day one, 1961. Yeah, do you notice that as the sports dad of the show, that the Declans and the Phils and the younger generation just doesn't quite give the same respect and love to older players that maybe we should?
I think it depends on the fan, so I don't think that's fair to say across the board. I do think that there are fans that don't care as much, but I also think that in this is actually a credit to the Wilfs. I feel like the Wilfs have done a really good job, and by extension now the entire franchise, of embracing the past. The Red Deer sort of forgot about the past. Like, they didn't really showcase, alumni. They didn't really, I don't think, bring back players. They do now, and I think that that gives the current fan base a much better appreciation and feel. But I don't think it's fair to say young people don't care about the old teams. I think some folks do, but I think it's just a personal thing. I think some people who became fans when Moss joined the team looked back and said, oh, there's a rich history here. This is great. Some said, I don't care about it. But just to make a blanket statement, I don't think it's fair.
Well, you build an emotional attachment to the things that you grow up watching and connecting with or listening to, right? I mean, your favorite music is probably the music you listen to between the ages of 12 and 22.
Yep.
Your favorite TV shows of all time are probably the TV shows you watched between when you were 10 and 20, somewhere in there. Sure. I mean, I was scrolling through Instagram this morning, and I saw that there's going to be a new podcast with three characters from Boy Meets World. Topanga, Sean, and I think Corey's brother, Eric, are going to host a podcast where they just go back and they review every episode of Boy Meets World as now, adults 25 years later.
Right.
Like, that was one of my favorite shows because I was 12 years old when I was watching it.
Great show.
So, same with Vikings players. Personally, I grew up, I was 13 when Randy Moss took the league by storm. So, right. And Chris Carter. So those are the guys that I grew up watching and have the biggest emotional attachment to.
No, that's fair.
JD via the Score North app. So we have a couple show ideas here for all of us. Hey, guys, longtime listener here. I've been following you guys for a while, and the past – and sorry, I think JD butchered the sentence here, but he's been following the top 25 player rankings from Judd and loves it. Would be too much – would it be too much to ask you guys to make a 53-man roster for the Vikings, current players, past players, basically building a championship team with all-time Vikings players, whether it be current or former players? That's a great idea. We should do it next week.
That's a big assignment. I like
that.
Well, we've put in a lot of the legwork here with your top 25 greatest Vikings. That's half the roster right there.
Yep.
So we just need to kind of piece together. We need to know, like, okay, how many in each position group?
That's what I was going to say. Like, two receivers, three receivers, three probably.
No, it's a 53-man roster.
So two receivers, tight end.
It's a 53-man roster.
Oh, I thought you were talking. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking starters. So how many? So
like, wait, I who's getting cut from this year's team? Yeah, Judd, yeah. Boy, Judd. No, sorry, KJ Osborne, you're gone.
I thought you were talking starters. So what would we have then? So we'd have
probably five or six receivers.
Five receivers. Okay.
Like eight offensive linemen. Somewhere there. We should do this next week. This sounds like fun exercise.
Absolutely.
And do it with only keeping two receivers, but 14 offensive linemen.
Well, you know what? You can never keep enough guards. We found that out.
Football.
Yeah, it's funny. When you look back in Vikings history, they got plenty of Hall of Fame guards.
Absolutely.
And then the mediocre Gatsby on Twitter said, I want to see a pie chart of blame for the 1998 NFC Championship game. Something different in the summer doldrums. That's another great idea. Historical pie charts of blame and praise.
Oh, God, where do we at? I mean, 2009, 1998. We could go back and do... I mean, we could do Twins ones, too. 2006 playoff against Oakland.
Oh, my God. This is a great idea.
I mean, you could do a ton of historical pie charts.
Historical pie chart of blame. Okay. Let's just make this a weekly thing for, I don't know, for sure the rest of the offseason.
Yeah.
The pie chart of blame is the one that stands out the most. It's hard to find historical pie charts of praise for the Vikings because, like, what games are you going to...
Well, you could do the
Miracle. The Minneapolis Miracle, I guess.
You could do the Miracle, but then, of course, you have to come back and do the 2017 NFC Championship game, which is the pie chart of, as the person said, crapping the bed.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we're definitely going to add those to the talker mix here for sure. And thanks to our friends at Federated for powering this episode too. They've been around for over 100 years helping business owners in and around the Twin Cities and also beyond. So if you want to find a full list of industries Federated protects, go to federatedinsurance.com where it's our business to protect yours. All right. And go check out Judd's top 25 Vikings of all time spread all throughout the week on Purple Daily. And if you could, click the subscribe button on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. Help spread the word about this awesome community of Vikings fans. See you guys.
He knows you once ate an entire sheet cake. He knows your selfie life isn't your real life. He knows what goes down in the DMs. Shouldn't you know your dog better? Now you can learn his inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test, unlocking over 350 breeds and screening for over 215 genetic health risks. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.
The Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is here. Get a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, plus a small seasoned potatoes. That's a better breakfast for just $3 in three easy steps. One, wake up. Two, get out of bed. And three, head to Wendy's for your $3 breakfast deal. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hour. Select or request $3 breakfast deal in order to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte or combos orders. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.